Hi, everybody. Today's Friday, June 20th, 2025, and our friend Larry Johnson is back with us. Welcome back, Larry.
You know, I keep trying to irritate you, but you still call me a friend. So what can I say? You're a man of great patience.
Larry, let's get started with the situation in the Middle East. We had before coming up, you mentioned that after the phone call between Xi and Vladimir Putin, something is happening in the Middle East. What are the latest changes that are happening in the Middle East?
Well, I don't know if the two Chinese ships, surveillance intelligence ships, arrived and entered the Persian Gulf. I'm not sure if that happened, coterminous with the phone call, or if it came before, or if it came, after. But and I think he can't really the decision to put those ships in the Persian Gulf, that was taken last week, earlier this week, because the Chinese ships didn't just suddenly sail around, magically appear there. They had to be dispatched. I think what we're seeing now is that while some in the public has suggested, Iran and China don't care about this. This is just between Israel and Iran, and they're just going to stay out of it. I don't think that's the case at all. In fact, I think it's the exact opposite. I think both China and Russia see Iran as a linchpin of the BRICS strategy. Now, I saw John Helmer suggesting that the Russians in particular are looking at Iran like they did at Syria, and if the government's internally too weak, they're just going to throw up their hands and go away. I couldn't disagree more with him. It's the exact opposite, because creating this north-south transport corridor, as well as, let's call it that, the other extension of the Belt and Road Initiative for China, is to create alternative routes that are not under the control of the West. This entire process that's underway right now that we're living through, but not all are comprehending, is the breakup of the Western Empire, the end of the unipolar control of the United States, and the emergence of this, I prefer Chaz Friedman's expression, multinodal, multiple nodes, that were no one single node is the controlling power to dictate to others what must be done. So to that extent, this attack on Iran doesn't have a damn thing to do about, Iran's trying to acquire a nuclear weapon. It's an excuse. It is a complete red herring. And, you're too young to really remember. Maybe you do remember a little bit, but the lead up to the war in 2003 in Iraq, 22 years ago. You're about 18 then, something like that. Chasing girls and studying instead of paying attention to international politics. I can tell by the smile I'm right. Then we were told, Saddam's got these weapons of mass destruction, but God, we got to stop him. The whole world's at risk. Again, it was just a complete load of crap. It was a lie. And it was done, principally to get access to the oil, and in part to, follow through on this neocon plan backed by Israel, the Zionists, to dethrone these governments that were viewed as potentially hostile or not under the thumb of Israel. And so, here we are again, going into this nonsense of trying to claim that Iran is just weeks away from getting a nuke. You watch the video of Bibi Netanyahu going back 30 years at least. The earliest I saw it was 95, but I was told that actually the first claim was made in 1984. If you're going to have a nuke in 6 weeks and in a month and next week, any day now. and it doesn't happen. So it is an excuse to try to destroy the Islamic Republic. And this reflects this fundamental ignorance of the West about what the current Iran is. That it, you know, they perceive Iran as this authoritarian state where instead of guys in Nazi uniforms are walking around in Islamic cleric garb, and they're, any girl that has a piece of hair sticking out from under a hijab is getting beaten. It's not true. In fact, you know, Iran is actually, from my understanding, and after having talked or listened to, you know, Pepe Escobar, Max Blumenthal and his wife, Alistair Crook and his wife, that the society has actually opened up remarkably. I forgot who was describing that, you know, he was riding the subway and there were young couples making out on the subway in Iran. How dare they? Gee, romance and passion. Who knew Muslims were capable of it? You know, so the United States is trying to destroy a mythical creature and demonizing Iran, and in the process, underestimating Iran's capacity to survive and punch back.
Larry, what can we learn from the latest interactions between Israelis and the Iranians? It seems that we've learned that Israel received 14 weapon shipments from the United States and Germany since the start of the war, since they started attacking Iran. What is the situation in Israel in terms of their air defense system?
Oh, it's getting weaker by the day. You know, in the initial stages, the initial, True Promise 3 response starting last Friday, Iran launched a number of missiles. And part of the tactic behind that is you flood the zone, you force Israel to use air defense missiles, because every incoming object usually requires 2, 3, maybe, you know, upwards of 10 missiles to try to bring it down. Israel does not have a production capability, industrial capability to produce what it uses up. It relies upon the United States. But what we've learned as a result of the war in Ukraine, the United States has run out of supplies as well. We don't have large stockpiles. We have limited stockpiles. And the longer this barrage of missiles from Iran into Israel goes on, that even I was even now noticing that Fox News, who has been, God, you know, talk about kissing Zionist ass and cheerleading all the way. Yeah, rah, rah, Israel, rah, rah, you know, that kind of nonsense. Even they were just doing the reports. Israel is running out of, missiles to fire back at these Iranian ballistic missiles. Oh, my God. And there's not a solution. It's not a matter of, like, flipping a switch and some factory's going to start, you know, pushing them out one after the other. They don't have the industrial capability. And then it even gets more interesting because one of those critical ingredients is called antimony. It goes into the explosive warhead. Oh, where's that antimony come from? Oh, that would be China. And China has imposed restrictions on its export, specifically to the United States. And as I saw a report, there's a great YouTube channel called Inside China Business. I recommend it to people if they haven't watched it. A fellow named Kevin Walmsley, an American living in China, but he gave a pretty detailed report the other day about Chinese inspectors discovering the, you know, antimony and other bismuth, I think was the other element, being smuggled, trying to be smuggled out of China, because Western companies are desperate to get it. So the United States is not in a position to resupply Israel. We've seen today that Iran is firing fewer missiles. Now, the Zionist true believers say, oh, great, this is show. They're running out of missiles. No, they're not. They don't have to fire as many because the air defense system doesn't really exist anymore. And Iran just about 2 hours ago just clobbered an Israeli defense military center. It was built, they had a school built above it. But it's Friday, the kids aren't in school, so they didn't kill any students. And it was located right near the Ministry of Interior and the Knesset. So Iran's delivering larger missiles that are more accurate, but they don't have to worry as much about air defense now. So they've got a much, much smaller target to hit. If you look at the size comparison between Israel and Iran, I mean, at least I think you know for the size of Iran by virtue of having been born and raised there. But Iran is like 27 times the size of Israel. It's three times the size of Ukraine. If you look at how big Ukraine is, three times the size of that. And so why does that matter? Well, if you're Israel, you've got a finite number of missiles, bombs, planes. You've got a finite number. You don't have infinite. And so the concept of finite is you got to pick and choose where you're going to hit. Well, this is like going to a restaurant where they got 50 pages of dishes that you want to eat. Oh man, trying to figure out which one you want to pick. You'll be there a long while trying to eat your way through that menu. Whereas Israel, from Iran's standpoint, they're like a one-page Chinese takeout menu. You know, they've got a finite number of targets in a tight area, so Iran doesn't have to spread itself out. The difference, though, is Iran's firing ballistic missiles. And I've heard some in the West say, oh, Iran's running out. Oh, yeah, we're hearing that same ridiculous story that we heard, with respect to Russia. Oh, Russia's running, April 2022. Russia's running out of missiles any day now. They can't keep this up. Well, here we are 3.5 years later. They're keeping it up. No problem. Iran builds these missiles underground. They're manufactured underground, not above ground. So you can't see, something coming out of a factory or a warehouse store going to storage and count them. I mean, that's one way that intelligence works, that you got an overhead camera and you can just record the film and count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Or they're, put in an outdoor storage area and you can count them. They're underground. We don't, to my knowledge, don't have, there's what they call ground penetrating radar. We don't have radar that can see through the ground into a storage facility located 100 meters below ground and say, oh yeah, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. So the reality is, unless you have a human source that was part of that whole operation, we don't have a clue how many missiles Iran has. But I would posit they've been burying things underground now for more than 20 years. All I know is I worked on a military exercise 20 plus years ago, and we were looking at the issue of how do you target and attack these underground facilities. So they're building that up every year after year after year over 20, 22 years. I'm thinking they got, maybe tens of thousands of missiles. Some are old, some are, middle-aged, and some are new. But it's not just a matter for, is Iran gets them out of storage and puts them above ground? And then that's the issue of the launchers. Israel reportedly has destroyed a number of the fixed launchers, that are in place. It's sort of like Cape Canaveral, where you'd always do the launches. But a lot of the missiles, particularly some of the newer ones that Iran has made, my understanding, are what they call the solid fuel rockets, which means you don't have to have a gas truck come up or diesel truck come up alongside and fill her up so it can jet off. No, it's, you know, it's built in. So this is, Israel's got itself a problem because it can't sustain the rate of fire against Iranian missiles and replace what it's firing. And there's going to come a point here, maybe as soon as next week, where Israel actually runs out and is completely vulnerable to then drone attacks. Because right now they're able still to detect and shoot down some drones. The West is scrambling. This is, you know, so typical, the arrogance, the hubris of these clowns in Israel, that they really thought they'd knock out Iran in a day. Oh, they're just a bunch of ragheads. You know, they're not like, they're good like us. You know, that kind of nonsense.
Now, you remember when we were talking about the interceptors, you said that at least they have to fire two interceptors to attack the missile coming in. But we see videos coming out of Israel shows 10, 11 interceptors going out and hitting nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the best one to get on to, you know, talk about, you know, the whole mechanics of that is Andrei Martyanov. You know, Andrei did a lot better in math class than I did. Okay. So. He's got real expertise on that. But no, it's the Israelis have become a little bit like Baghdad Bob or like the Ukrainians. Oh, we shot down 90%. No, they didn't. And I don't know. I was particularly outraged yesterday with the chutzpah of Netanyahu in that crowd. They're crying crocodile tears because Iran bombed a hospital. Oh, Iran didn't bomb a hospital. They bombed a military facility near the hospital. The blast wave, yeah, broke glass, dislodged some tiles, but didn't kill anybody. Whereas the Israelis have blown up over 26 hospitals in Gaza, killed patients, babies. And it's not a matter of opinion. We got the documented video evidence, you know, too much of it, unfortunately. So it's like, you know, listen, it's the only good news is Israel's now getting just a little tiny taste of its own medicine, and it doesn't like it. They'd be better off if they said, let's stop the killing. Let's talk. Let's dispense with our idiotic, bizarre Zionist beliefs, this demonic doctrine that somehow, because you know, you're in the lucky sperm club, you're entitled to, you know, this chunk of land because somebody wrote it down 2,800 years ago and said, yeah, well, it was, you know, like Ted Cruz, it says in the Bible, we got to support Israel. It says no such thing, but you know, that people believe that nonsense. And you know, for those faithful Christians out there watching this who have been schooled in this deception, and if you're mad at me, I'm sorry, but this whole blessed be Israel bunk, it's a bunch of crap. It was written by Israelis for Jews for Jews. And really, it's a rejection of the actual values of Judaism. So I'd call it a Jewish heresy. It's something that many Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox Jews ascribe to.
There it seems, let me play a clip that shows the Iranian missiles going to Israel. Here is the see the way that it goes. Somehow, I haven't seen before these sort of images, and can we understand? It seems that Iran is somehow feeling that Israel is somehow a laboratory experiment for the missiles they have. They're trying to do everything to see the effect they can cause on Israel.
Yeah. Well, they've got a whole, I don't claim any special expertise in being a resource to explain to you the different sizes and types of missiles. All I know is they have at least, just judging by what I've seen in the museum, at least 20, 30 varieties. Now, some are older, some are newer, but Iran has, you know, they've got a lot of good scientists. Seems to me that's sort of your field too. You've got an engineering background. I don't know what it is in the water in Iran, but they create and grow a lot of smart people. And so those smart people are engineers and scientists, and, you know, they've developed developed some great military technology. And Israel, you know, Israel has deluded itself, deceived itself over the years, saying, oh, we're the best, we're the greatest, you know, nobody can touch us. They have never fought a war against a country with Iran's capability, number one. They have never fought a war. This is now, we're now in days, the longest war they fought previously, you know, the seven-day war, six-day war. You know, they're always in week, you know, 1 week, 2 week. What's been going on with Hamas is unprecedented, but, you know, Hamas is restricted to, you know, carrying out guerrilla attacks, ambushes. And they still continue to do it. They just did another hit today. More Israeli casualties coming out of Gaza. But Iran is in a position that they can keep launching these missiles for the foreseeable future. And so let's just assume that this goes on, that every day, now an Iranian 10 to 20 Iranian missiles are going to hit military, intelligence, technology targets. You know, you saw that they blew up the Weizmann Center, which was used for nuclear research. They hit the Microsoft building, and it was in Beersheba, I believe. They're hitting Unit 8200 headquarters buildings. They keep that up over 6 months. I don't see how Israel survives that. It is simply, it's going to create so much chaos and uncertainty. And here's Israel, you know, which I think actually heightens the risk that they may, in a fit of desperation, try to use a nuke. And again, a nuke, it's going to kill and destroy a lot of people in one location. Iran's a big place, and Iran's got other capabilities to retaliate against that. And, you know, what we've seen as well, that Iran's no longer in this alone. They've got Russia, they've got China, they got Pakistan. And the relationship between China and Pakistan is important, because here's Pakistan pledging, we'll give our nukes to Iran to use against Israel if Israel does that.
I remember when I talked with Professor Ted Postel about the capability of air defense systems in Ukraine. He mentioned something which I think is important in what's going on in between Iran and Israel. He said that these fighter jets are a very good target for the air defense systems. They're literally nothing. If they go to the area that the air defense system can reach them, they can hit them easily. And it seems that even with the air attacks on Iran, with the fighter jets, Israel would have to be outside of the Iranian airspace in Iraq and in other countries to hit the targets in Iran.
Yeah, I've been listening to Alexander Mikouros. I think he has a pretty good grasp on it. And I fully agree with Ted, and Ted's another great expert on these. Forgot to mention him. There, despite Israeli claims that they're dropping bombs over targets in Iran, there's been no video evidence of actually seeing the planes flying above. There have been drones. It appears that what Israel is doing now is firing missiles from near the, you know, outside of Iranian airspace, but very close to the edge, so that they're not really in good range of Iranian air defense systems. So that's that's an important indicator. They were flying, the first 12 hours, 24 hours, because they had succeeded with a cyber attack and knocking out the air defense system and the ability to control it. But it got back up and running real quick. And as I think it was Pepe Escobar, was it on your show or one of the other interviews, that the Russians played a very big role in helping get that back online. Now, going back to last October, when Israel attacked on October 27th, and there were a lot of their missiles were shot down, I had assumed at that point that Russia was supplying Iran with air defense systems. We've now learned from President Putin, speaking the other day to a group of foreign dignitaries. I don't know if they're on their way to SPIEF, the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, or not. But he said, look, we actually wanted to sign a defense pact with Iran, just like we have with North Korea. But Iran didn't want to do that. And I spoke with Alistair yesterday, and I've just posted the interview with him at my channel at Countercurrents. And Alistair said, look, here's what was going on. Pezeshkian and the sort of this moderate group of Iranians, they didn't want to get that deeply into bed with Russia because they still wanted, hey, we still want to be friends with America. You know, we want to be, Washington, please like us. And really foolishly naive. Well, now they know. Now they should, Pezeshkian and company are understanding. Putin's made it very clear. Hey, they want S-400s. By God, they'll get them. And, some have been ridiculing or saying, the Iran's not that great. Look at all the bombing strikes. Well, Iran's defense against incoming missiles is not, it's not great either. Don't want to pretend that they're,
I mean, Israel's.
What Iran's facing from Israel.
Yeah.
Now, so, both Israel and Iran sort of suck at it right now, to be candid. Iran, though, looks like it's also sort of preparing to fight the United States, because I think they pulled back some of their critical missile defense, air defense systems, and they're staging them, because to attack Fordo, is that how you pronounce it, Fordo?
Fordo, that's right, yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you, language
You're
teacher.
Good.
Yeah. they're going to have to fly B-2 bombers over it. And the United States, nobody can target it. Nobody can find us. They won't see us. We're invisible. And maybe they're not. So you're going to see possibility. If Trump goes ahead with this attack, and I think he will, unfortunately, because the situation here in the United States is just crazy. The insanity that has seized people. But those P-2 bombers get above Fordo, and Iran takes down one, game changer. Because all of a sudden now the United States will have been shown, you're not invincible. You're really limited what you can do.
Larry, in the mainstream media, they're talking about Fox News reported that mystery flights from China to Iran are raising concern for the United States. Are they making the rhetoric, or there is something to it?
Well, there are Chinese flights. It could be that the Chinese are flying in to pick up Chinese nationals that are in Iran to get him out of there because they're worried about their safety. That's possible. But they also could be resupplying Iran. You know, the I do not believe that over the last 7 years that Russia and China, when they were conducting joint military exercises with Iran, were just doing that because they had nothing better to do. Damn, I'm bored. Well, let's go play with those Iranians. You know, we don't really care about them, but let's go. No, they were creating military ties, relationships, and planning for contingencies, which I think is one of the reasons those two Chinese ships showed up in the Persian Gulf. Okay, and they're going to collect intercept information about incoming attacks from both Israel and the United States. They can actually guide a missile to a location. They have enormous capabilities to collect intelligence. So right there, China's sending a word to the West. You know, they're not making an open declaration. That's not the Chinese way. But they've walked into the room and they've set up, in a sense, they've unpacked their guns and loaded them and they're sitting there, sitting guard. And so the West better pay attention. And Russia's doing the same thing.
You remember when the conflict in Ukraine started, China came out, said, we are condemning these attacks. And it was playing somehow that nobody would perceive that they're helping Russia. They're doing whatever they were doing in those days. They're not accustomed to talk about what they're doing, Larry.
The stereotype is what they call the inscrutable Chinese. You never know what they're thinking. Yeah. You know, in the West, or the racist stereotyping goes on. Oh, they're devious. Yeah. No, they just have good common sense and know when to talk and when not to talk. Yeah. You know, that's the thing. So we don't have, I think, a good grasp on the full scope of cooperation and conversation going on between or among the Chinese and Russians with the Iranians. But as I said at the outset, Iran is a critical linchpin economically, both for China and for Russia, in terms of breaking free of Western domination of the global economy. Neither China nor Russia, I believe, are seeking a confrontation with the United States, despite United States claims to the contrary. They would like to have normal economic, diplomatic interactions. But, it's the West that's refusing to do that. We've had what I call sort of a false friendship, especially with China. Because, you go back to 50 years ago when Richard Nixon opened up relationships with China, it was all done for the cynical purpose of trying to weaken Russia and, to undercut the Soviet Union. Well, now China's all grown up, and they're the largest industrial power in the world. I came across, this is a little off topic, but it shows you the state of the world. Do you know how long it takes to build an F-35 jet fighter?
No idea.
18 to 24 months, okay? Year and a half to 2 years. In World War II, the United States built a B-24 Liberator bomber. It was a big bomber. How long do you think it took them to build that?
No.
Take a guess. Come on, make this fun.
It's a week? Month?
63 minutes.
Wow.
And to fully assemble it, it took 18 to 24 hours. That's the difference between the United States today and the United States then. China is building ships at a rate that exceeds anything the United States did during World War II and since. So China's become this industrial power. And yet, again, I can't tell you the number of Americans that think, oh, she's going to be overthrown, and the Chinese are a bunch of communists. And that we can't just accept them for what they are, you know, and recognize China is doing things technologically that are light years ahead of the United States. You go and go to Shanghai, you can get into a cab that doesn't have a cab driver. It's just like that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, you know, where he ended up going to Mars, but as part of it, you know, the Johnny cab, and some, you know, robot drives up and he hops in the cab. China's doing that for real. You can't go to New York, go to Los Angeles, San Francisco, or the most modern city supposedly in the United States. You know, you can't get that. So, you know, the United States just needs to wake up.
Larry, the mainstream media, Sean Hannity was talking about how they can get a deal with Iran. Here is what he said. I want to show how detached these people are from the reality of what's going on. Here is what he said.
Long-range missiles, and frankly, any missile that has a range to hit any American target in the region. I think that would be a fair deal, considering they have no leverage and their back's against the wall because the Israelis have kicked their ass.
Yeah, man, those Israelis, they've kicked their ass. Watch who's spending more time in bomb shelters this week. Oh, that would be the Israelis, not the Iranians. You know, Hannity is, again, he's a symptom of the disease that infects America. I hope you saw you got a chance to watch Tucker Carlson's entire interview with Ted Cruz.
Yeah. Destroyed him. Destroyed Ted Cruz.
I sent Tucker a message. I said, man, think of all the trout that you have filleted in the years that you've caught fish and eaten them. I said, even those fish are standing up and applauding you for just skinning Cruz alive like you did. But it exposed an important reality that, you know, when I talk about how the religious extremism in the United States, this nonsense that God gave Israel to the Jews and nobody else could have it and they can kill anybody they want because God said they could. You know, if that's your interpretation of scripture, I don't want any part of your deity. I don't want any part of your God, because I think it's demonic. I think it's evil. Because what you've got going on is a death cult in Israel. And they claim to celebrate life, but just, you know, they kill children without a moment of regret. The Zionists. Now, you know, this is, again, I draw the line between that and Judaism, because true Judaism actually is promotes a humanity and respect for life, but not these clowns. So people like Hannity embrace that Tom Cotton, who is a senator from Arkansas, sitting there bobbleheading along with him. And, you know, Iran is a sovereign state. It's not going to give up its sovereignty. And it's going to defend itself. And the United States is in no position to defeat it. You know, we can't do it from the air. Now, yeah, could we wipe out Iran by saturating it with nuclear weapons? Oh, sure, we could do that. And if we did that, the United States would be toasted in a heartbeat as well, because Russia and China will not sit by and let that happen. Because they know if they do, they're next. That's the point. So the United States is right now caught in a irrational war fever. The good news is it has split the base, because people like Candace Owens, Charlie Kirk, most surprisingly, even Jack Posobiec to an extent, and you got Tucker Carlson.
We had Matt Gaetz.
Yeah, Matt Gaetz has been particularly on point on this. And the polling data shows that people 50 and under are not buying into the Israeli lies. It's people my age, you know, 60 and older, unfortunately. Yeah, but my generation, as I said before, we were raised on the Exodus myth. You know, Paul Newman, and it's, you know, saving the Jews from the Holocaust against the nasty Arabs. You know, that was the theme we were raised with.
They want to do, Larry, look at the behavior of the United States, Israelis, the positions of Iran, outside of Iran. They're doing everything to do so-called regime change in Iran. Today, I don't know if you saw the videos coming out of Iran. It's not just the base of the government, the people who are close to, ideologically close to the government. Everybody's coming out.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this is, look, the United States has been engaged with this mission of regime change around the world since 1948, since the creation of the CIA. And the first initial target on that was the Soviet Union. And then it spread. And, you know, Iran got targeted with it in 1953 with the removal of Mossadegh by, I think, Kermit Roosevelt, you know, like a son or of a Teddy Roosevelt was a mastermind of all that. So the United States has been interfering and overthrowing governments right and left for my entire life, you know, well over 70 years. And it hasn't made the world safer. It hasn't made the world richer. It's brought, you know, so much death and destruction. And I am so fundamentally opposed to it that just to assume this moral superiority that we can go out and dictate to the rest of the world what their governments should be like and who should be in charge. Not our business. Take, you know, I better have my own house in order. And before I go out lecturing other people on how to arrange their households.
Many people are speculating, as you've mentioned, you feel that the United States finally may attack Iran. You feel that that would be the case. And here is what White House said about the attack on Iran.
Situation in Iran. I know there has been a lot of speculation amongst all of you in the media regarding the president's decision-making and whether or not the United States will be directly involved. In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, "Based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks." That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today. So we'll kick it off for questions here in our new media seat. We have Eli Lake from...
Yeah, just to remember, she said within the next 2 weeks. He said,
yeah,
she,
yeah.
Say that after 2 weeks, he's going to decide. And it seems that any moment he can decide about going and bombing Iran.
Yeah, it could happen this weekend. It could happen today. Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. And look, here's what's so stupid about Trump's approach to this. If he genuinely believes that Iran is on the cusp of getting a nuclear weapon, then he needs to go to Congress and get a congressional vote to allow him to use military force overseas. If he does this on his own and it goes sour, which I think it is likely to do, that he, instead of, you know, a quick in and out, it's going to get him bogged down and there are going to be American bodies coming home, losing a B-2, maybe losing an aircraft carrier. He's going to look like a complete fool, and he'll be blamed, and he won't have anywhere to hide because he didn't get congressional support for it. At least if you get the, you know, I have no doubt that most of Congress would support him in this. That's how crazy they are. And so if he had that congressional vote, then, you know, we're even more dangerous at that point. However, he would not be as much on the hook. So he's really exposing himself. The only thing that may ultimately prevent him from doing this is enough of these people like Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Charlie Kirk, who have been really key supporters of his, get the message to him. So, Mr. President, if you do this, you're going to lose a lot of voters. I know that for a fact. I spoke to a group of the Lakewood Ranch Republican Club, which is Manatee County. This is one of the reddest pro-Trump areas in the United States. And the number of people that came up to me afterwards was surprising. And people who were prominent, one in particular, who was the manager for the Trump campaign in this county. And they were expressing alarm at Trump attacking Iran. So when you've got that level of concern among the ardent supporters, you know Trump's done something really wrong.
Most of the veterans, Larry, of the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, they're totally against Donald Trump. And it doesn't matter from Republican, Democrats, as time goes by, they're getting more vocal about what's going on with the Trump administration. Do you feel that these veterans are important? Donald Trump, he always talking about veterans, how important they are and how he cares about them. Is that a matter for them, for him?
Well, I haven't seen a lot of veteran groups coming out in opposition. And maybe just I haven't been able to read what you've been able to see. I would note, though, you got people like Tom Cotton. He's a veteran. He's all down with doing this. Hegseth's the more interesting character because there are rumors that Hegseth and Tulsi Gabbard are being cut out of the decision-making loop. It's like, you're cutting your Secretary of Defense out of this loop? Are you crazy? And the chaos in the intelligence community that's now generated. So what people need to understand is when Tulsi Gabbard sat down in March before Congress and testified and said, the intelligence community does not believe that Iran's position about acquiring a nuclear weapon has changed, that it's against their religion, they're not doing it. That wasn't her opinion. And she didn't just sit down and talk to a couple of guys. What do you guys think? Oh, yeah, we'll write that down and then go out and say it. No, this was the judgment of the CIA analysts, the defense intelligence analysts, and we're talking senior analysts and their managers, State Department, Bureau of Intelligence and Research, National Security Agency analysts, and the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, NGA. They come together, or they get over email chains, secure telephone calls, and they either agree or they disagree. And you could have had a situation where four of the agencies were saying, oh, yeah, we don't think they are. And one, like CIA, said, oh, hell no, we think they are. Then you would present it as, well, the majority of the community believes this. The Central Intelligence Agency believes the opposite. You know, so that's how these judgments come up. Well, Tulsi issued that judgment in March. If that judgment has changed from March till now, instead of Donald Trump saying, I don't care what she thinks, which he did, you know, and what a dumbass thing to say. He should have said, well, we're going to reconvene the intelligence community and see if they have any updates. Now, one of my friends speculated that maybe Israel provided us intelligence and proof. Oh, I wouldn't trust anything that Israel gives us. Nothing. So understand that the intelligence community is still, I don't think it's changed its position. I don't think there's any reason to change the position. They're being lied to or misled.
Iranian foreign minister arrived in Vienna, Larry, to talk with Germany, France, and the United Kingdom. I was wondering what would be the outcome, what would be the policy of Donald Trump? Is he capable of doing diplomacy? Is he capable of talking with other nations, with other countries? Because look at Ukraine. He started the way he started. Right now, he left the situation in Ukraine in the hand of Zelensky to negotiate with Russians, which we know it's not Zelensky. The Europeans are running the show, and they're forcing, maybe the United Kingdom is running the show with the Zelensky administration to negotiate with Russia. He's doing the same with the case of Iran. Where is the United States?
No, it's a disaster. We have no effective diplomacy. You know, this Donald Trump could have a deal in a heartbeat that he could have, you know, he would have been ridiculed as doing JCPOA too. But the fact of the matter is he could have come out and said, we've got a firm commitment from Iran to not build a nuclear weapon. We've got inspectors on scene. While they will are allowed to continue to do peaceful enrichment, they will not engage. We've got further assurances that they will not engage in anything 60% and above. And, you know, that could have been celebrated. Instead, they're, you know, they want to, you can't do any enrichment whatsoever, and you got to give up your ballistic missiles. Iran's not going to do that. And in light of this surprise Pearl Harbor attack, Pearl Harbor style attack by Israel on Iran, I don't see them backing down or backing away. There's going to have to be a surrender by Israel, in fact. So
they're talking about, Larry, they're talking about that if the United States attacks Iran, they're going to use tactical nuclear bombs. It's not coming out of the United States. It's British media is just trying to spread this sort of rhetoric. What is your take on that? Is the United States going to use tactical nuclear weapon in Iran? If so, what would be the outcome of this sort of action on their part?
Yeah, well, I think it's unlikely, but I can't rule it out. And if they cross that nuclear red line, China and Russia will then be involved in this as a war, because they see the United States now has breached all international agreements. This is an unjustified and warranted attack on Iran. And, you know, that's why up to this point, Iran has not hit any U.S. military targets in the Middle East, even though the United States has been aiding Israel. Just because they don't want to give the United States a pretext to attack. If they want the Russia and China are counseling, you're going to have to take the first blow. But if you take the first blow, then they are under international law. They're the criminals. They're culpable. So that's the other game being played here. Unfortunately, it's not for entertainment.
Yeah. Before wrapping up, Larry, do you see the possibility of a false flag operation?
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the don't rule that out, that a U.S. ship was attacked in the Persian Gulf, and therefore we have to respond. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Larry, for being with us today.
All right, my friend. We're still friends, right?
More than before.
All right, that's good. Then I'll see you on Monday, I hope.
See you soon, Larry.
All right, my friend. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.